and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. And today is a Tuesday. It is July the 18th, 2017. We have a live show for you today and looking forward to bringing you that. And you know, when you heard the intro with to Tando Radio Show, where the world was, where they were saying that the world was changing. And that is so, so true. And because of that, that process is being reintroduced in a very, very big way. And we'll touch on that a little bit here on today's show. But we're going, before we do all of that, everyone continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, please. Definitely need your overall support in maintaining the overall direction of this network. And you can do that by going to the website for the network, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And then once you are there, you will see the donation prompt that is there. You can give some of your financial energy to ensure that this network continues to grow and bring you what it's been bringing. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. If you at times chime in from time to time and listen to Black Talk Radio Network, make sure that you're doing what you can do to ensure that it's going to be here in the future. So that is just, you know, something I think is very, very important. So definitely, if you all would, give some of your financial energy. All donations, regardless of how big or how small they are greatly, greatly appreciated. Also, you can support the network by going to BTR Community, and you can find BTR Community, which is the social media network that this platform has put together, known as BTR Community. You can find that also on the website for this station, this network. And also you can go to the individual address for it, and that's www.btrcommunity.com, www.btrcommunity.com. And once you are there, you can actually become a member for $24 a year. That is 1 year subscription and $24 a year, and you can engage in all of your social media activities without being adversely affected, and be more, you know, holistic about different things and not catch all of the other stuff and the adverse side of the Fed book, Twitter, and all that other stuff, which you do pay for in so many different ways. You may not see it, but just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not there and it's not real. It's a trick of the whole system. So make sure that you know that and engage. Jump on into BTR Community. It's a great place for you to learn and to acquire and for us to resonate together there. Okay? Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can do that by going to the website of Prosperity Mint. I actually posted it inside of BTR community. It's the first time I did that. I don't know why it took me so long. I wasn't really thinking. And so you could go to www.prosperitymint.com and check out what's in inventory there. And if you would like to acquire the precious metals, which are now making their way back up, and I think that this is going to be a significant rise that you're going to see with them from going on into the rest of the year. So you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Make sure you actually send an email to info@prosperitymint.com. What's up, Roz? What's up, Brother Bragg? Make sure you send an email. That's what I get for doing that. Make sure you send an email to info@prosperitymint.com. info@prosperitymint.com. If it's your first time, make sure so that someone can call you and get in contact with you to make sure that you are buying correctly. There are some things that you want to do that's in your best interest, okay? So definitely you could do that there. Also, for those of you that are in BTR, there's a crowdfunding campaign that we are undertaking to assist and to ensure that my man, Will Emanuel, has everything that he needs. Will Emanuel is recovering from chemotherapy, and he was receiving chemo from germ cell cancer. And you could do that by going to GoFundMe.com/SamUnionYankee, the number 5-Paul-3500. And give some of, if you can, donate to Will Emanuel, who is recovering. We want to make sure that he stays in remission and that his body can detox from the radioactive chemo just be able to actually get rid of those radioactive isotopes from chemotherapy. Okay. Also, for those of you that are into, you know, cryptocurrencies, you can join us with rcryptocurrency.com, rcryptocurrency.com. I'm extremely pleased. The cryptocurrencies, as I thought, would be going down, and I said that last month, said, hey, it's high now. It's going to be going down. Get yourself totally situated so you can start acquiring them. They went down, and now they're starting to make a big push up today. We'll take a look at some of the reasons why. And I think that this is only going to continue for the rest of this summer going into the latter part of the year. And it may start coming down in the latter part of the year. But where it's going during that time is going to be very, I think is going to do some crazy numbers. So definitely get involved in it. You could do it with us. And that's through rcryptocurrency.com, rcryptocurrency.com. And that is where you could do it, is just put R and then cryptocurrency, all one word, all lowercase, cryptocurrency.com. And then that way you'll see the Trade Coin Club. Sign up there. Then once you do that, I will send you the information that you need to set up your account. And then you can get started for as little as $200. And just from that platform alone, very easy. They do all the trading for you. You can just have it and just let it grow. You can have a minimum of 200, or you can have whatever it is that you're comfortable with, a full Bitcoin or however you want to do. I actually put in a Bitcoin myself, a full Bitcoin into it. So it's been doing me really, really well. RJ and JB, John Black, came on. I got to actually get in contact with John, but said that probably within 2 to 3 months, your overall account will double. Well, so for me, but that is actually the pace that I'm on, actually probably a little sooner, but that's because I did withdraw from it just to make sure that it would actually pay out. And so it did do that. And so and I meant to re-put it back, but I totally forgot. So I'll probably put it back, but it's doing really well, and it's doing extremely well. For the 2 months that I've been in, it's gauged about because it went down a little bit and now it's gone back up. So I don't know. I have to see at the end of this week, see how the trading platform does, because it does it for the whole week. And then I'll be able to tell. And it was before the cryptos went down, was averaging about almost $900 a month from returns in that, roughly, or a little less than that. I may have been looking at it wrong. So in total, it was probably $900. So maybe it was right around $600-$700 a month. Was probably more appropriate to that. So it does work, and we're going to talk about some of that, especially on Friday, Financial Friday. We'll be talking about that. Okay, today's show, before we get into the news, we're going to take a look at the black market's expanding role in America will be apparent. That's today's show. I think it's very, very important. I think it's important that we prepare for the black market so that we will be able to engage in it, and those that do will be in a very, very, very good position. They will be able to establish lifelong or generational prosperity, in my opinion. So I want to just bring you some of that information today, and we're going to be taking a look at how we're going to be taking a look at that. We're actually going to be taking a look at Venezuela from the black market standpoint. And I think this is, oh man, this is a very, very important key, you know, for us to know and for you to think about so that you can thoroughly engage it. And the black market here is going to be much, much bigger. It's already really establishing. Cryptocurrencies is a portion of that, and I think it's going to be a significant portion of that. So just want to bring you some information so that you, some solutions or some things that you can use in your arsenal to protect yourself and your family. And I know that for me, it's been working very well, and it will continue to work well, because that's the energy that we're always going to put in it to it. We're going to methodize our own solutions to things. And I don't pretty much worry about what goes on around me. I know that is there. I need to know that is there so I can have an appropriate response to it. I'm not looking for anyone else to do anything else for me. You know, I think it's very, very important to be self-motivated so that you don't squander your talents and your abilities. Okay? So black market is today's show. The black market's expanding role in America will be apparent. And it's been here for a while, but the expanded role is going to be very, very apparent to everyone. So we want you to be positioned for that. Okay, so let's jump into what's in the news. Didn't post that much there to what's in the news. First article I posted from Waking Times: being open-minded literally changes the way you see the world, says new research from Waking Times. According to new research, open-minded people just don't see the world differently in an ideological sense, but new studies entail seeing it both ways. Openness to experience and binocular, move this down, rival suppression, move this, come on down. Psychiatrists have found that, psychologists have found that being high in openness can actually change visual perspective. Being open-minded is so important, and that means to me, being open-minded means that you're able to look at all forms of a situation, the good side, the bad side, and you do not try to filter out either one. You want it to be as honest and as forthcoming as possible so that you can use that to make the best decision for you. Being open-minded, I think, is extremely, extremely important, okay? Being closed-minded in any direction is not good at all. And I don't think that most of us, that we really get a lot of information about what really being open-minded is all about. Many of you, the reason why you listen to this Handle Radio Show is because you're open-minded, and we want to just assist you in that and open it up even more. So that, because one thing about an open-minded person is that they want to hear everything. because they have questions for everything. Very, very important. They don't shy away from anything. They don't try to go into their comfort zone. They actually want to be to actually create a comfort zone by way of what's uncomfortable as well. They mesh them all together and put it together for their best outcome. I think that's very, very, very important. Next article. Got this one from womenshealth.com. I think it's womenshealth.com. Yeah. Women's healthmag.com is where it is. This is how to regulate your hormones naturally. Let me see. You've no doubt heard the buzz about how regulating your reproductive hormones might be the key to alleviating many of your health problems. But what does that really mean? Well, most of the time, your body does a good job of keeping your hormones consistent month to month. Check out that article. Very, very important. Also for men's health, the scary way just one night of poor sleep can mess with your brain. One night spent tossing and turning is enough to leave you blurry-eyed and cranky the next morning. But the most serious effect of a poor night's sleep lurks deep inside your brain. Let me move this down. New study says from Washington University. I definitely think that is so, so true, and we have to be careful of that. Next one, this comes from BitcoinTalk.com, and my commentary is this. Have to be very careful with these new ICOs. New ICOs is initial coin offering, which we hope to be doing. It's going to take us a while to put it all together, and it's a project that's worthwhile. I think it would be beneficial to a lot of you and us collectively and individually, which is very, very important. So I look forward to working with some of you closely on that. Okay, so this comes from Bitcoin Talk. CoinDash, future of trading token sale was yesterday, July 17th of 2017, and their site was hacked. And the people that tried to buy into this ICO, this token, their actual token, their actual Ethereum, or what they were using as a medium of exchange to get these CoinDash tokens, were actually stolen. The cryptocurrency world is very, very, you have to follow some very, very fundamental security protocols. You have to follow them. And some of the things I actually try to establish some protocols to protect myself and the people that we work with, you all that are with us. These protocols, you have to only strengthen them. I never send if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to purchase ICO, I never send everything that I was going to purchase with. I send a small amount to make sure that it was just in case something goes wrong, you don't lose. So it's just some very, very important. This is some of the adverse sides of the cryptocurrencies, which I think in the future is going to be the tripwire for a lot of major problems that I can see in the horizon. But until then, they have to set the trap. And I say extrapolate from it as much as you can, and you go back to things that you know are sound and fundamentally uncorruptible. That is based in what you can control. Very, very important. It's a big difference between ownership and controlling. Next article, got this one from Sputnik News. Far out, former NASA scientist claims alien ships are hiding in Saturn's ring. I don't think that is beyond the realm of possibility. Actually, I think it's more plausible. But whenever NASA speaks, you know that 95 to 98% of it is a lie. You got to be extremely careful with NASA. I call them never. You know how me? I give different names for everybody. NASA to me is never a straight answer. They will lie about different things. So be careful of anything from NASA. But it is, I do definitely, we all know that we're not the only living entities and beings and forms of in life form in this vast, vast universe, not even in our solar system and everything else. And there's capabilities that of things are so great. So very important. But I would just say be careful of the source, because they like to lie. And they are, it's a part of the military-industrial complex. And you know what they're all about, controlling and subjugating you. All right, next article. This one comes from Sputnik News as well. Johns Hopkins University inks $92 million to help $92 million deal to help Air Force plan for nuclear war. Johns Hopkins University in the state of Maryland has been awarded a $92 million contract to analyze strategical and tactical air delivery and ground-based nuclear weapon systems capable of, move this down, systems capability and developing planning for their use. The U.S. Department of War announced in a press conference. Next article comes from, and you know what that's all about. Next article, they plan on using it. Next article, this is what I was talking about with the start of today's show, when Gaddafi wanted to ensure that the rest of the world would pay for goods by paying in gold to, and that was an asset for an asset, which is very, very important. Gaddafi wanted to make that a part of Africa's economy, the continent of Africa's economy, and then that would wage throughout the world. And we all know that was the real reason that he was assassinated and was forced to leave here in the Great Transformation, in my opinion, earlier than what he possibly would have done anyhow. So very, very important, because this is where things are going. And thought that Gaddafi was maybe pushing it too far, too fast. And if he would have just waited for a while, it would have been conceptualized in a much bigger and broader form. Well, that bigger and broader form is here, and it is absolutely huge. And this comes from Reuters. And it says Russia's, move this down, Russia's Sberbank begins physical gold trading on Shanghai Exchange, Russia's biggest bank. Sherbert Banks said on Thursday its Swiss subsidiary had begun trading physical gold on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we had told you 2 years ago was going to happen. And when you see this happen, a major, 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 major economic transformation has taken place. And we're going to definitely talk about this a little bit more. Huge, huge story. And we're going to get into this sometime this week, and why this is so significant. I mean, this is huge. So it is here, and these are the subtle things that happen, why you need to continue to prepare yourself. Just because you don't see major big events, just because it doesn't feel like things have changed, just because of this, that's what the system does. It's a subtle, asymmetrical, methodical approach to controlling people. This is a huge, huge deal. And for those of you that are engaging in the cryptocurrency and in the precious metals, this is so significant as to what is going to be happening. And the key to a profit is always you want to buy an investment when the seller is asking the wrong price for it. That is about to change in so many different realms. And those of you that have been diligent, those of you that have been disciplined in acquiring different things, this is going to be beneficial to you, extremely beneficial to you. Extremely. So definitely we'll be taking a look at that very, very soon here. So let me sorry, everyone. So that is a huge one, comes from Reuters. Next article comes from Active Post. Russia and China declares all-out war on U.S. petrodollar. Prepare for exclusive trade in gold. This has a lot to do with the article that we, and my man Raj said for me to, okay, got you, Raj. I sure will. Couldn't see the board. Raj, you know you could always unmute yourself and tell me to make sure, because I may miss it, but I will refresh it. Okay. Raj, do me a favor. Unmute yourself real quick, because I don't want to mess up my my screen if you can, because I want you to tell us what it is that you posted. If you can, if you can't, I try to do it. I hopefully it won't mess up the screen for me. So, all right, so check this out. Russia and China declares all-out war with the U.S. petrodollar, preparing for exclusive trading in gold. This is a huge, huge happening. This has to do with the Reuters article that we've been trying to get you all prepared for. Next article from Reuters, I posted this one. Dollar nurses losses as carry trade flourishes. This has to do with everything, what's happening in the global markets, especially with the gold and what's happening. The physical trading of gold, which is huge. And it says the U.S. dollar nursed losses at a 10-month low against a basket of currencies on Monday, yesterday, as investors cheered unbeaten China's data and piled into leveraged positions such as the Australian dollar and other high-yield currencies. This is a huge, huge move that is happening that you need to be aware of. Next article I got from Reuters. No, I didn't get this one. My man Jambone sent me this one. Thank you, Jambone, for sending this one. And this one comes from Reuters. U.S. banks pay up for big deposits as customers get pennies. Big U.S. banks are starting to pay corporations, financial firms, and rich people more to hold on to their deposits. But ordinary customers will have to wait long to see more than a few pennies. This is why you have to be engaged in other things. You have to become your own bank. This is the setup, and we keep doing things the way that we've done things before in the past. Nothing changes, and this is why we always end up where we are right now, because we do not create our own solutions to things. Who is that? My man Roz.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Hello.
What's going on,
hey,
brother? Oh, sorry, Roz. Let me just. What up, Big Roz? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on? What was the article? I didn't want to mess up the page, man, because my internet. You know, my internet is like temperamental, man. You sometimes don't want to mess it up, and it won't come back. But what was the article? Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there that I posted, actually. Yeah, there's a bunch that I posted up there because I just thought they were significant.
Did you?
And like since about maybe 5 minutes to six. So I was like, there, if you didn't refresh the screen, you probably can't see him. So now you have like 32 in there. Yeah, there's 32 in there now. So I don't know how many you're able to see as far as what your screen shows.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to refresh it then to do it. Hold on, let me do that. Let me get this one. Let me get these couple of articles out. Hold on, Roz, and then, I'm going to need to refresh because I had mine open for a while. Okay, hold on, Roz. Next article, okay. Jambone sent me this. Venezuela condemns Trump's brutal economic sanctions threat. Check, very important. Next article from Cerebrally Naive Network. Exclusive. CNN witnesses U.S. Navy's drone-killing laser, and they deployed it to the Persian Gulf. Check out that article. Next one comes from, I got this one from Bloomberg. Bitcoin jumped as miners take first step to avoid currency split. And that's why the overall Bitcoin rose and the rest of the cryptocurrencies actually took off today. Very important. Next article from Antimedia. I got this from antimedia.com. Iran to America. Iran said this to America. Stop worrying about us. Your government is about to collapse. Well, well said. So let me refresh this because Roz said he posted a couple of things just before we went on. Let me hit this again. And best way for me to do it is this way. And then we're going to pick up where Roz had put some articles there. We want to do that. And then we're going to jump into today's show. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And, you know, one of the things I love doing what's in the news, because I think it's really, really important for us to engage in that. And, yes, Roz, I got them. I see them all now. Okay, let me just click on this. And then it will come up, because I think it's important for us to see some things so that we can jump into it and research them for ourselves. My man Scotty said that open-mindedness means you consider all information and then research it for yourself. So true. So let's, while it was populating, so I could get to some of the things that Roz put in, there we go. Let me make sure, let me open this right here so I get all of them in, because the only ones I don't, okay, here we go. See, we're mine in, and we kick up. All right, here we go. So let this populate real quick. Rise posted this one. Article, this one came from the independence.co.uk, which is a UK publication. What would the world look like if all of the ice were melted? Wow, that is a good article. Thanks, Roz. That's a good one. Check out that article. Next article, Roz posted from the New York Times. Plan C on Obamacare, repeal now, replace later, has collapsed. And let me tell you, y'all, this is going to go into the debt ceiling. This is all a strategic play on what's going to be company. So make sure that you prepare. Next article, I got to hit this one. Roz posted this one from USA Today. Trump adds new sanctions to Iran, targeting ballistic missiles and supporting terrorism. So that was the article that Roz posted today. That one's another good article. Next article comes from Roz posted this from NPR.org. White House arrests. Legal experts disagree about prosecuting a president. Check out that article, which I think a lot of things is going to be unfolding here. So next article, Roz posted this from thinkprogress.org. Possible money laundering by U.S. corporations formed for Russian entities. The mysterious eighth person at the Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting allegedly ran massive Russian money laundering schemes. So check out that article. This is where things is going to, the purge, ladies and gentlemen, the purge is going to be kicking off. Next article, Roz got this one from AP News. Ready to cook meals from Amazon in bid to expand groceries. And Roz said, wouldn't be using this ever, especially since they are partnering with Monsanto's. Yes, so true. So true. The actual, you got to be careful with the MREs. If you got the MREs back from early 2000s, you know, from and all of that, those MREs are really, really, really good. Nowadays, yeah, with Monsanto's and everything else, you don't know. All right, next article, Roz got this from Mirror. .co.uk, which is a British publication. Drones are one of the greatest military threats helicopters pilots face. Very, very true. A helicopter is completely sensitive. It's not really supposed to fly, and it doesn't take much to get a helicopter out of the air. It wants to crash anyhow. So next one, next article from, move this down, from Measurable, and Rod says, bad news. Microsoft will help Google of China take its self-driven car platform global. Man, I don't want no part of that. Exactly, Rod. None at all. And next article, Rod posted this one from Time. Researchers use Obama's speech to synthesize high-quality lip syncing. Check out that article. Next one, from Enterprise. Roz posted this from Enterprise. Three ways to raise your children to think and to solve problems like an entrepreneur. Man, this is, you know, Roz had posted one, and we need to do a show about that. The show, and we want to do it with Roz when he got some time. One about being addicted to FedBook and another one, this is another one we definitely have to do. And you want your children to raise your children to be critical thinkers and be able to solve their own problems. One of the things that you can do is be honest and bring everything that your problems and the things you got to deal with within your household to your children, so you all can collectively come together with a solution. What does that do? That encourages them. And it gives them, they can see that they can do certain things. They have esteem. They look at themselves completely differently, and they take on challenges much different. This is very, very important. It's the must do. We got to do a show just on that. Next one, Roz posted this one from beautiful, housebeautiful.com. The most exciting media shower of the year starts now. Check out that article. Next one from Science Alerts. New research suggests at least 75% of all human genomes is junk DNA after all. in. Couple of last ones here, and we're going to jump into today's show. Next one, this one comes from theconversation.com. Rise posted this one. How we think about our past experiences affects how we help others. How we can help others. Very, very true. How we think about our past experiences affects how we can help others. And I definitely would say our past experience is from the internal life that we've already had from before we were actually in this physical form should be actually cultivated and used as well. It's just my opinion. Next article. Raj posted this one. India's first solar-powered train makes its debut. Check out that article. And this one's going from Boeing. Raj posted Boeing.net. Drugs that are 30 years past their expiration still have potency as they were when they were manufactured. So I tell you that synthetic stuff don't. It's not real. It's not real. So, and you know, one of the things that I think that they do, they tell you about different. It's so many crazy things that the pharmaceutical companies and for us to be using them is crazy. And if you know the history of the pharmaceutical companies, you would definitely know what their true intention is. So, yeah, these drugs last forever, and they last in your system probably just as equally as long. Very, very important. So that's what's in the news. We're getting ready to go into today's show at any time. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Raj, you still there? Raj is probably doing
yes,
some stuff. Raj, let's make sure, let's do a show when you got some time on the entrepreneurial, the three things, let's have that, and then the one that we were going to do on social media addiction, especially that non-productive stuff.
No problem. There was a great video that I played. Jerry and I had done a show basically on that, maybe like about a month ago or so, and there was a great video that I had from 60 Minutes. That discusses people's addiction to their phones and the apps and how they actually have the mathematical algorithm for addiction. And that is what they're programming the apps and the phones with so that they trigger a fight or flight response in the human being. So that even if your phone doesn't ring or doesn't have a message on it, it creates a form of anxiety akin to fight or flight, which forces you to go look at your phone as the cure to your addiction. And, of course, you know, with the adrenal hormone comes cortisol, and cortisol also causes weight gain. And also the fight-or-flight response, when it happens too often, creates problems with sleeping. You just talked about the importance of getting sleep. And then also lack of sleep also creates weight gain. So these are all things that we're not putting together. And then on top of that, we in our book study club, we're reading the book Fantastic Voyage, How to Live Long Enough to Live Forever by Ray Kurzweil and Terry Grossman. And they talked about fat and the fact that fat cells create an immunotoxic response. So anyone who is severely overweight, they're literally poisoning themselves with the extra fat. It also creates extra blood vessels in the body to supply blood to that fat. And then on top of that, the blood that's being supplied to it, if you're a person who eats a lot of sugar, cancer cells feed off of sugar. They don't eat like normal cells. Normal cells deal with the mitochondria, and there's amino acids that it utilizes to provide energy to the cell. And then, of course, for black people, melanin provides 90% of our cellular energy. Whereas with cancer cells, it actually feeds off of sucrose. So it's feeding off of sugar. So if you're a person who eats sugar, or if you're a person who drinks a lot of alcohol, then essentially, if you're overweight and do those things, you're literally feeding a potentially cancerous environment. So, you know, you'd have to really start trying to lose the weight and alkalinizing your body, because an alkaline environment is an environment that cancer and other illnesses, whether it's the cold, flu, none of those things can survive in an alkaline environment and an oxygen-rich environment. So it's always good to utilize chlorophyll and trace minerals and diaphragmatic breathing, meditation, all of these things facilitate creating a disease-free internal environment, as well as eating well and things of that nature. So, yeah, if you definitely, I can forward you that clip so you can, you know, if you want to utilize it, because I think it just it has such great information in it. I think it's something that would do for a redux on a program like this, where we can, you know, reach even, you know, more of your audience as well. I know some of your audience listens to our program too, but, you know, that way everybody who listens to your program will be able to listen to it, because there's a lot of really, really great information. It'll really get you to think about your phone and the other devices you have in your house a lot differently. I know for me, I'm not a person who's addicted to my phone. I use my phone for very simple things. I try not to really download apps unless it's stuff that I really want to use, and I read what the app is accessing before I accept it. You really want to read those things. People don't read those things. It's like they don't read you know, the little clauses in their contracts with their cell phones and all of these things, and you don't realize the rights that you're giving up when you just, you know, click accept blindly. And that's something that we're really not taught. Black people are not really taught that. White people are taught to read everything. You read every word before you sign a thing. Black people, yeah, you just sign it. You know, somebody told me, it's usually a white person tell you something and just, you know, give you this feeling that everything's innocuous and you just go along with what the white person said. And our ancestors were severely abused and mistreated just because they didn't know how to read. So it's very important that we utilize that skill. You know, reading is a tool. It's just like anything else you have in your life. It's a tool in your tool book. And the way that you use
gotta
words,
use it.
The way that the way that you understand what's being said is highly important to your survival and your ability to maintain your sanity, because they'll use words against you in ways that you will not be able to fathom, especially when you're dealing with legal jargon and things like that. So you really, really want to get up on that sort of stuff as far as reading and understanding things and how things really work. Yeah, so that's still, I guess, you know, I don't mean to take over the show.
Yeah.
My brother,
no, definitely, got it. No, we got to do it, because, like you said, we need to rehash it. And you know what? Hold on, Scotty. Scotty had a question real quick. And, you know, one of the things that's very, very important, we sign too many contracts. We don't write any. You know, think about it. Who does a contract? Let's break the word down, contract. What is the what's one of the root words in contract? Con.
Mm-hmm.
The con.
Mm-hmm.
It's a con.
And what is the track? A track is a piece of paper that's widespread. A track, when, you know, when you go to church, they give out tracks.
To railroad you, right. To put you in a different direction, right. To move you into the direction of destruction.
Yep. And you can even say contract as in a trail, because it's really a paper trail that's full of nothing. And the contract will always benefit the person who wrote it, not the recipient. You know, it's just like when I remember Tupac. I'm sorry for interjecting. I was going to say, mother. Oh, no problem. I remember Tupac's mother, you know, God rest the dead here. She talked about his contract, and she said, you know, every contract is basically a contract is based on exploitation. It's how much you will allow the other party to exploit you. So it is a form of prostitution. It is a form of slavery. You know, it's a contractual form of slavery. And it's just, well, how much am I going to give Massa in this particular contract, and how much am I going to make a return off of my labor? Because everything, like, and I don't think a lot of people understand this, but everything, like you said, is about energy. It's about the transfer of energy. It cannot be created or destroyed, only changed and transformed. So everything you do is a form of propagating energy. Everything that your body does is a form of receiving and processing energy, especially if you're black. If you're a melanated person, your body processes energy on a level that no other living being does. We see that different and better than other races of people, so-called races of people, and we hear and perceive things on a whole nother level, and it has to do with the high melanin content. And these are all things that we have to really delve into heavily. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that, brother.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very, very important, because not only because of that, our physical bodies display that. Our physical body displays how our physical body is able to take energy and to use it. That is displayed in our overall physical abilities. And you can see that there, very evident. Hold on, hold on 1 second, Roz. Let me get to Scotty real quick. Go ahead, Scotty. Scotty had a question about, said he had a question about ownership and control. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I did have a question about that. I had made a post about it the other day to see if I understand you correctly when you say that. Because, you know, a lot of times I don't want to interrupt the show or ask questions, and plus I might be doing something else, but it'll be in the back of my mind. And so I had been thinking about that, and I was like, how can I logically apply that, you know, ownership versus control? But let me, before I talk about that, let me get on this end on this contract stuff. That contract works both ways. As a person who's running a business, running a nonprofit organization, I issue contracts. I issue month-to-month contracts for service, okay? The reason I do month-to-month is because I have seen in this industry that I'm in where people try to get you locked in to a one-year contract, okay? And then by the time you figure out, hey, I'm paying too much for this, you already done signed a long-term contract for a year. So I do month-to-month. Not only so that person doesn't feel like I'm exploiting them or locking them into something, you know, long term. I do month to month because I may find that I don't want you on the network, so your contract is up and you out. You know what I'm saying? So that contract worked both ways, man. And I had unfortunately a person who puts out conscious videos and stuff like that, who entered into a contract with me. Everything was written to provide this person with service. Then he tried to talk me into giving him a further discount. This person wanted to make me a slave. They wanted to steal my energy. And so, but this supposed to be a conscious black person, right? Who all about my people and all. Then why you want to make Scotty a slave then? You know, you can pay, this is cheaper than anywhere else you're going to go. And so this person had already entered into the contract and paid it, right? So then after he pays it, then he want to try to, oh, you need to give me some money back and give me the black man discount and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, no, I'm not. You're not going to have me working for no slave wages. And I'm working for you. You came to me. I didn't come to you and ask you to come be with us. All right. So anyway, this person going to tell PayPal that somebody stole his credit card and he didn't authorize these charges. Now, that goes as a strike against our organization's PayPal account. Okay, that counts as a strike against us. And after so many strikes, guess what? You're out. I had to find another payment vendor and whatnot. But because I had a contract that spelled out everything specifically in the terms of service, and I had emails of me and this person discussing this contract for services, they ruled in my favor. And they actually told me to call the FBI and press charges against this person or file a complaint against this person, which I did not do, because there ain't nobody going to say Scotty Reed sicked the man on me. You know what I'm saying? You know, now, if they had stolen from me, yeah, I would have did what I had to do. If I had to protect myself, I had to do what I had to do. But since they found in my favor, returned the funds, and told this person why you want to lie like that, and I just dropped it. I just dropped it. So that contract go both ways. But on the stuff
I want to speak to that briefly, because what you said was brilliant, and I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to take up too much time. I thought I was talking too much, but I should have qualified that. When I was speaking about the exploitative contracts, I was speaking in the context of white supremacy. And specifically using the music business, because it's something that is, that I was a part of, so I'm very familiar with that and how the...
Oh, yeah, no, we all knew that. Everybody knew that, Roz, what the intention was, yes.
Yeah, Roz, I know you, so I know what context you were speaking in, but I just wanted to add that wrinkle,
cool, but I'm just glad.
Because there are people who look like us who ain't necessarily got our best interests at heart.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, like, and it's something you say that I really, really love when you say all skin folk ain't kin folk, because a lot of our people really learn the art of exploitation from the enemy so well that in some cases they're better than the enemy at exploitation. And I've always said, whatever black people adopt from other people, we turn out being better at it than the originators of it when we apply ourselves to it. And, and that includes negativity and anti-blackness in that form. So I'm really glad that you said that. And what you said about not moving further as far as the with the feds and all of that, it just reminded me of something that I heard Dr. Ben say many years ago. And that was one of the first things that shifted my consciousness as far as how I function with other black people. And he had said, and this was after he was assaulted by a homeless person that was severely mentally ill. He didn't fight the person back because he knew he was mentally ill, but he did end up in the hospital. And this guy had assaulted him on a couple of occasions. It wasn't just once. And it was because they would always let him out of the mental health center. You know, he would just walk around the streets of Harlem. So ultimately, he said that I would never go to my enemy to mitigate or adjudicate any issue I have with another brother or sister. And, and when he said that, I was just so flabbergasted, because we're trained to think if something goes wrong, you automatically run to the police. I mean, my parents, my mother specifically, never liked the police. I grew up with an aversion to police because of some of my own experiences, the things I saw and then the things I heard from people close to me. So I was they're very much a last resort kind of a thing for me. But when it comes to issues with me and other black people, I deal with them straight and direct. I don't deal with that. Say, I'm just like you. I think exactly like that. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you were able to say that, you know, just on your own. And the way you handled that situation was really, really great. And I totally understand what you're saying. If there was a situation where you couldn't mitigate it that way and you had to move forward in order to protect your interests, absolutely. There's no question about that. That's what has to be done. But if there is a way to move forward in a productive manner and a constructive manner without having to involve the enemy, you don't involve them. So that's the path of least resistance and the path of less potential for someone to get hurt as far as another non-white person. So I totally understand where you're coming from. The logic is brilliant. And thanks again just for speaking from that angle, because I didn't want to take up too much time to hit too many different sides of the issue. But I just thought what you said was really, really, really brilliant, display of black self-respect. And just the other way that contrast can work, potentially not in the interest of the person who's providing the contract. And because you're a person who does so much for our people, you know, without asking for anything in return, I think that it's a very special thing for people to hear some of the stuff you have to deal with coming from your own people. Because a lot of us don't think that these things happen. But I always tell people, just because you might know the right lingo and wear some kente cloth or dashiki or some other form of African garb, and maybe even change your name and, you know, whatever other things you might do to cosmetically look like a person who is quote unquote conscious, and I hate that term, but ultimately not everyone who talks the talk and, you know, wears the garb and speaks the lingo and all of that stuff, not all of them are authentic. They're just, you know, we have just as many cons in the quote unquote conscious community as we do in regular society, and don't ever get that lost. You always vet who you're dealing with on any level. You vet them, and if they show you who they are, they tell you who they are, don't not believe them. Do not disbelieve what they tell you, because they're probably telling you the truth. And most people tell you the truth when you first meet them. You'll find that as the relationship progresses, if they are a liar, that over time you'll start discovering their lies. But in the beginning, they usually tell you the truth because they don't know you. So it's easy to be honest with people that you don't know. Once a person knows you, then if you're a scheming person, you have to work around in a cunning manner to get around the fact that they know you. And those are the kind of little tidbits I like to give out to people, just so that they think, in case they have those sorts of relationships and situations they're dealing with, they might be able to look at things from a couple different angles to get a little more insight. So
those toxic relationships. Yeah, no, no, you're good. Those toxic relationships, man, that is something, you know, we also need to be talking about, too, because that plays, there's a way to prepare for that, too. So, listen,
hey, Dave,
Scotty had another question. We're going to go to the commercial break, and then we'll come back and do the question. Then we'll jump into the rest of the show. If you'd like to get in on the show, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. We'll see you in queue. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll finish up the conversation here, and then we'll kick off the second part of the show. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation today, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, hit **. We'll see you in queue. So Scotty said he had another question about...
Yeah.
He said, I have a question about ownership and control. Go ahead, Scotty. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, Dave. Yeah, so I was thinking about that the other day because you said that more than once on the program. And then I was thinking about a conversation I was having with my cousin who lived next door. He's passed on now, but his son lives there. But I was just remembering him in a conversation we had standing right out there in the driveway. And I want to ask, does anybody really own anything? Because my cousin said something to me that was so profound. As he was looking out over this land, you know, that our family allegedly owns, okay? Now, he looking at this land, and he's saying, you know, you don't really own anything. He said, try not paying your taxes and see how long we have this. And I was like, he's right. I didn't really think about
it.
I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, the government can just snatch up your stuff if you don't pay the taxes. But then I started thinking about you when you said own and control. And I said, really what we're doing with this land is we're controlling it. We don't really own it if we can't defend it and the government can send its armed thugs and just snatch us off of it and take it. You know what I'm saying? So how can you say you own it? So right now, we can only say we control it. But then I was thinking in terms of my vision to establish media centers in black communities across the nation. And then I was thinking about, you know, another person talking about buying a school building and whatnot. And then I was thinking about, again, Dave said, you don't want to own, you want to control. So I could have these media centers, which are really schools. Don't buy the property, but lease the property, control the property, because if I quote unquote purchase the property and own it, I'm responsible for the taxes, I'm responsible for the maintenance on the building, I'm just responsible for everything. And so I don't want to
liability.
Yeah, I don't want to control. I don't want to own the building that I hope to one day put these media centers in. I don't want to own the buildings I want to control the spaces in the buildings. Does that make sense in terms of owning and control?
Yes, it's very, very important. We got another caller in queue real quick, Scotty, we're going to answer that. My man Mel just jumped in. Mel, what's going on, man? What did you want to add?
Well, Scotty's making, hey, how y'all doing, brothers? Peace and love.
What's up, brother? Peace and love.
I'm just like, I mean, but yeah, if you do own it, doesn't it, like you would call, have, give it intrinsical value? I mean, if you do own the building, and if you were to have to be forced to do the maintenance, or, you know, whatever problems may arise, but doesn't it give it more of an intrinsical value? If you, I'm confused on the own versus control thing as well.
Okay.
Let me give him some more context. Okay, this is what I'm looking at, Brother Mel. We don't have enough funds coming in, whether that's donations or clients, for me to go, let's just say, to Charlotte and buy a building and put a media center in there to teach people this technology while also running a radio station for Charlotte, specific for Charlotte. I don't have the money to buy a building, okay? But we may have it in the budget and sometime in the future to lease a building. So instead of me waiting till I have, let's say, millions of dollars to buy a building, I could go ahead and go forward with the mission of teaching people and informing people by just controlling a space in the building. So let me clarify it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally dig that.
Someone else. Was that Raz that chimed in?
Yeah, that was me. I want to speak to that too.
Oh, go ahead, Mel.
No. I just was saying I can understand where you're coming from. I mean, okay, I can dig it. Go ahead, brother. And I'm loving the show, man. I love how you speak. I love to hear you speak, Brother Raz. Peace.
Oh, thank you, good brother. It's good to hear from you too. I was going to say, The beautiful thing about what Scotty's saying is that he's cutting away the overhead, because the building, it's almost like when you hear Christians say the church is the house of God. No, the church is a building. The people are supposed to be the house of the Creator, not the building. And the building in this case is only a place that houses the center where he's able to propagate his message. So he can take that message to any building he wants. The overhead he's saving on, because he doesn't own the property. So if a pipe busts, if there's a fire and it burns down, he leases it someplace else. So he's keeping the overhead to a minimum and accomplishing the mission. And then on top of that, it made me think of how our ancestors perceived land, whether it's on the continent of Africa or the continent of America. They did not believe in ownership. They believed that the living entities on this planet were to share the land, and every living thing controls their portion of the land for a set period of time. You have wolves, you have bears, they have a set territory. They control that territory for their lifetime. And once they pass away, the control of that territory passes on to another predator of equal strength in the ecosystem. And it's the same thing we did. The concept of ownership came with white people, and they did that as a ruse to swindle the indigenous people everywhere they went in order to steal their property, steal their sovereignty, steal them. And that's the thing. Like, we think we've been trained to think like white people in the terms of ownership, but ownership is a liability, because Mother Nature can remove what you own. All you need is an earthquake or a landslide or there's so many, a myriad of things that weather can do to remove your quote-unquote ownership. So what you do is you control the space for a set period of time. Some of us hope to control that space for a lifetime. Some of us move to new spaces. You call them an apartment, you call it a co-op, but it's not about ownership, it's about control. That's what, when Dave talks about the game of Go versus the game of chess, the game of chess was a game created in Africa, and it was about military strategy and thought. White people converted it to a concept of ownership and dominance. The Asian game of Go is all about controlling time and space, and that's the thing. You know, space is what dictates time. Time is not really real. It's just a means of measuring a life cycle of
any living thing, and it's a means of giving them a place in time and space, but it's space that dictates everything. Because when you're going from point A to point B, it's the space that dictates how long it will take for you to get there. So space is everything, and control of space is everything, and we're not taught that. We're taught things in a whole different way that usually tends to be detrimental to self. And one of the great examples of how ownership can be troublesome is if you look at the ownership of the Apollo when Guy Fisher owned it. He was a well-known heroin dealer who used to deal with Mickey Barnes, and he was the first black person to own the Apollo. And once they found out about his drug money and how that was what fueled his ability to buy it, then he lost control of that space. The ownership was taken from him, as well as him going to prison, as Nikki and all of them went to jail too. But it was about him wanting to own something, and he really couldn't own it because his background wasn't conducive to him maintaining that ownership. So again, in some cases, ownership is a good thing, and it can facilitate, like Mel was saying, the ability to have some intrinsic value. But in other cases, especially in the world that's dominated by white supremacy, it's easier to lease it and not make the building the edifice of whatever you're creating. Let whatever you're creating be movable, but let the space just dictate a place for you to be able to safely conduct your business and have a what they would call an address, so that you can deal with whatever, you know, taxes and whatever legal stuff you have to deal with. But don't let the space dictate everything about whatever it is you're trying to do, especially if you don't have the money to pay for a space and own it. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Brother Ross, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you do me a favor, Brother Ross?
Mm-hmm.
Drop the mic, man. It's smoking. Drop the mic, brother.
I love it. This is why it's so important for me, you know, for us to, I never try to stick to any kind of script on a show because it's so important. And as what Scotty said, what Mel said, and what Raj said is absolutely true. And I would add this, is that there's ownership means that you are fulfilling your liable obligations to those that control. That is from an economic standpoint. But from a ecosystem standpoint, you can never own anything that lives. The land is a living entity. And there should be collective prudence in between you and there. And that's something we need to get to. But let's get to where we are right now. Before we get to this, is why owning the major difference, other than what Raj said, that is important with ownership in control. Ownership puts you in a position of disadvantage, while control gives you all of the advantage. And here's how I would start to explain it. Everything that you own can be repossessed from you. Okay, when you control everything. When you control everything, it can never be taken away from you. One of the most important things that we need to start to establish in controlling is, first and foremost, is our energy. When we control our energy, everything that we do becomes beneficial to you as an individual, sovereign, self-determining person. Now, to put it into where we are now, your cell phone, you own it. You pay the cell phone bill and everything else. If someone steals it from you, you could say, hey, someone stole it. You could do a police report. You could call the cell phone company. You can tell them, hey, I don't have my cell phone because you turned my cell phone off. See, the thing is here. See, the difference is you own your cell phone, but they control it. Someone else controls it. And the actual cell phone people control it. Just like the internet, you may own a website, you may own a page, but you don't control the access to that. You think you do, but you don't. They could cut that off at any time. Best way to put it is this way. With land, once you control something, it can't be taken away from you. You can only surrender it. With land, you would get in today's world, just for saying, in today's world, if you don't have a lordial title, that means that you control, you own it, and that if you don't pay your taxes, they can take it from you. But when you control the land through a lordial title, no one can ever take it from you because you don't pay anyone ever again. You don't pay taxes. You remove yourself from liability. And it's very, very important for us to start to strategize and start thinking that way in everything that we do. You remove yourself from all forms of liability. So when you have a lordial title with land, you don't pay taxes. Because what it is you go into the market, you acquire the bond that land is held under. You pay that bond and you take it yourself. If you ever put liability or debt on it, now you have moved yourself from control to ownership. But I always say this about land. You got to be careful with land, because if I put if a tank driver and a tank gunner go on your land, they just transferred ownership and control from you to them. So you got to be careful of what it is that you choose to control. What Scotty is saying is this is the important thing. From his standpoint, you want to control the energy of educating. That's the key. The building is just one of the tools. The most important thing is to control the narrative, control the energy, because it's the energy that creates everything. And you also want to do that. Your biggest asset isn't your car, your bank account, or anything else. Those are all liabilities. Your biggest asset is what you can control, your energy. What do you do daily, and what do you create? That's that controlling, that's that space and that controlling spirit that will create everything for sustainability. So control and ownership is very, very important. You don't want to own anything. Let me tell you why. Let's say you own nothing. You go out, let's say for me, I go out and get into a car accident by mistake and everything else, like Venus did. See, the thing is, if you own anything, you could be liable for the havoc that you caused. When you don't own anything, but you control everything, means that no one can take it from you, not even the courts. The courts can't make you pay anybody anything because there isn't anything that you own. But everything that is surrounding the entities that you control bring about prosperity for you and your family for perpetuity. That's where you want to be starting to move into. That was one of the controlling your wealth seminars pieces that was very, very important. The courts can't even do anything to you. They can't make you pay anything. Now, what should be done is if, you know, from where you are, if you cause some harm to something and you are of means and everything, you should offer them something for what you've done. But you know, and I know how people do in today's world. They try to get you for everything. So what you do is you don't own anything. You control everything. You have the final decisions in everything that you do. And all of everything that's created from that, all of the benefits of the energy that's created from there goes to you first, and you disseminate how it's, this is going to go here, this is going to do that. That's where you start to control everything. You're beyond legal approach. That's very, very important in today's world, to be beyond legal reproach. But from a ecosystem standpoint, you want to be in collective prudence with every living entity. There is no, you notice, there is no, there are very few animals that kill for sport. They only take from the system what is needed for their sustainability. That's a controlling mentality, where you want to control and make sure everything stays in balance. Ownership means that the balance starts to sway only towards you. Very, very important. So your car, you don't want to own a house. You don't want to own a car. You don't want to own a business. You want to control it. Because when you control it, no one could ever take, or there is no legal recourse that could be held against you. Very, very, very important. So with everything that was said, that's one way that you want to do it, because you always hear us talk about, you know what, if we didn't create it, if you don't control what it is that you have, you got to be careful of what you're engaging in. Just like investing in the cryptocurrencies, investing in the stock market, investing in certain things. If you don't have control over, if you don't have lordial title on it, then you have a liability. But see, when you control things, you protect yourself from liability. And what need do you have for a boss? People that own things have bosses, have someone that they have to answer to. People that control things give direction. So it's a different space. It's a different energy. And too often, too many people that have a malevolent spirit are controlling things. And one of the things how they put ownership on the general populations is because they control the natural resources. And whoever controls the natural resources will tell people what to believe, what time to get up, what they'll be paid, where to sign on the dotted line, and so on and so forth. And this is why it's so important that we take back our sustainability and our self-determination. Self-determination is an extension of control. Very, very important. So it's so many variables with it that go along, and it's something, a cycle of schooling that we have to break. This is critically important. Critically important. So we will do more on that in the future, because it's so necessary that we do. Because this is something that has not been taught to us, but it's something that we should be engaging in to protect ourselves. And it plays out in so many ways. The system actually tells you, you know, that they tell you everything before they do it, in so many ways and by so many means, is because controlling is so much, it puts you in a different position of advantage. It limits your liability. When you control things, you don't pay taxes, or you divert the taxes back to you in a more meaningful and a more prosperous way. So we're going to do the Controlling Your Wealth seminar again, and that is, it is critical that we move and operate in these things, because when you start to control things, you can't do business with people that own things, because it's one that is immune from liability trying to work with someone that is liable. It doesn't mix. And this is why it's so important for all of us to be immune from liability as much as we possibly can, especially within this system that lives and feeds off of that. I say, if we're going to still be in this system until we move into what we have established as the predominant way of cultural life that we live by, you need to know all of the rules so that you can properly break them. Know every single rule so that you can break it, properly break it. Because no person should have any form of dominion or control over you. The great creator didn't intend for you to live that way, but gives you the choice if you want to live that way, then everything is perfect. This is why things take so long to change. Because our acceptance of what is necessary for us is a very slow, methodical moving process on a on in a augmented scale of population. It takes a very long term for people to move away from things because they get comfortable. There's so many variables, they get comfortable, this and that. But it can be instantaneous for you. Many of you have always known that something was wrong. You just didn't know everything that you needed to do about it. By you just knowing something was wrong, that was the start of the turn, the quick turn for you. You got to follow it all the way through. And never ever let someone else's being, if someone else is still stuck, sometimes it's not always in your best interest to pull them out of being stuck. Maybe they need to be stuck there for a while so that they can start to figure and see things out, because it's just like sometimes if you go against someone's will and go against them, you build resentment. But always be there to do whatever you can to assist and to help people. But don't save. That's a falsehood of this system. You want to create the environment for what the great creator has done. The great creator never comes in and saves anything. It's not Captain Save Everybody. Man gives you that because they know that the great creator doesn't resonate that way. It doesn't work that way, because then you're waiting for somebody else to fix your problem and you don't energize your control over things. You wait for ownership. Well, this piece of paper says, the court says, they deemed me as this and that. My name's on it, but it's your energy predominant, or is it being sifted and utilized in someone else's benefit? Very, very control is what man has created. Excuse me. Ownership is something that man has created in the overall lives of the economy. Control is what the great creator has given every single person. We got another caller in queue before we get into the last part of the show. I want to go to them. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Yo, Brother Davis, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Brother Davis! What's going on, Brother Davis? Yes, it is always good to hear the voice of a friend. What's going on, Brother Davis?
Well, you know, I'm not one to complain, man, although I got a list like everybody. But listen, I want to give a shout-out about tomorrow night's show because my time is a little bit at the end of the hour. But listen, tomorrow night, everybody knows that my shows have been focusing on the transformation process and how to achieve it. But I thought we'll take a twist. Tomorrow night, we're going to have people call in about different books that they have read and talk about the transformation that they have achieved from the knowledge that they got from that book. Now, the reason why I'm choosing this route is because a lot of times, you know, people hear things on the radio and will always say something like, wow, I wonder what that was. And the person will give the information, but they won't get the book. Well, tomorrow night, you got the chance to call in, tell about your favorite book, the influence that it had on you, and the author, so people could go out and buy that book if it's something that they're interested in. So please, everybody, give us an opportunity to participate tomorrow night, and let's share information so that we can grow. And most of all, others know that we are reading. Back to you, my brother.
Man, great, great show, Brother Davis. And I'm looking forward to that. I know Brother Bragg and Roz and everyone and all of those that you know, that read a lot of different materials that have a plethora of information about such things. Their library is extremely great. That's going to be a great, great show. Looking forward to it. Got a couple. I'm like, man, which book, wow, is just so much. So I'm just going to wait until it comes, and then I'll give mine. So definitely, definitely. So we got another caller that's in queue. Tomorrow, Wise Wednesday, what book did you read that was influential in your life. Give the author, give the name, and tell why it was so influential in your life. I'm looking forward to that. This is going to be a great, great show on Wise Wednesdays, as all of them are. Brother Bragg, what's going on, brother? Go ahead.
Peace, man. Loving the show, man. Peace, people. I just wanted to, Dave, if you grant me, man, a couple of seconds, I just want to read you a couple of
What are you talking about? Grant you what? Come on, man. Go ahead, brother Brad.
The Emerald Tablets of Trough the Atlantean, because I was reading this morning, man. Raz already know, this is my favorite thing right here, Trough the Atlantean. This ye, old man, hear my voice, teaching of wisdom and light in this cycle, teaching ye how to banish the darkness, teaching ye how to bring light in thine life. Seek ye, old man, to find great pathway that leads to a long eternal life as a son. Draw ye away from evil of darkness. Seek to become light in the world. Make of thyself a vessel for light, a focus for the sun of this space. Lift thine eyes to the cosmos. Lift thine eyes to the light. Speak in the words of the dweller, the chant that calls down the light. Sing thou the song of freedom. Sing thou the song of soul. Create the high vibration that will make the one with the whole. Blend all thyself with the cosmos, growing to one with the light. Be thou a channel of order, a pathway of law of the world. Thy light, O man, is the great light, shining through the shadow of flesh. Free must thou arise from the darkness before thou art one with the light. Shadows of darkness surround thee. Life fills thee with its flows. Life fills thee with its flow. But know, O man, thou must arise and forth from thy body thy go, far to the plains that surround thee, and yet are one with thee too. Look all around thee, O man, see thine own light reflected, aye, even the darkness around thee. Thine own light pours forth through the veil. Seek thou for wisdom always, let not thine body betray. Keep in the path of the light way, shut thou the darkness way. That would be the wisdom of lasting. That's far as I'm going to go, because it's a long thing. But I just love that, man. I just wanted to share that.
Man, brother, I love it, too. And it's so important. And what I love about sharing... go ahead. It was Brother Davis was saying something real quick. Go ahead.
We received that, brother. I wanted to let you know. We was listening, and we received that.
Peace.
So yeah, very, very important, and that's what's so important is sharing the different things with each other is so important. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to tomorrow Wise Wednesday's show. I'm not going to we're not going to do what's in the news unless something major happens. We're going to jump right into that show, so that gives you all ample time to get out what it is and what Brother Bragg just read was. I see why it's so relevant, because it really speaks about who, what we should, how we should be engaging, you know, ourselves individually. Because when you really think about things, your individual relationship extends into your collective relationship. And I think it's so important that we build a reasonable individual relationship. Think about it. The first thing that you should fall in love with is yourself. And that's not a selfish standpoint, but the love of thyself. Because it's very, very important, because within that is all of the talents that the great Creator has given to you as a gift. How could you not? Because then, if not, then you'll start to think is not enough. And how many of us develop the unappreciative self-esteem stigma by not saying that I can't do this, I can't this, and it, the woe is me mentality and everything else. Man, the system is very, very tricky in what it does. So Definitely. Love that, Brother Bragg. Love that, love that. Listen, got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Quiet, you. Put y'all in a minute.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. So get in if you want to talk about anything. What we want to do in the last part of the show, there is a something that let me make sure no one has any. If you wanted to jump in on something, definitely now's the time to do it. There is a, in this last 30 minutes of the show, and the black market is going to be extremely, extremely important. And I want to just show you that some of the lies and the deceptions that's going on, and give you an idea about how some things could work in the future and why you should be positioning yourself for that. There's a it's a 22-minute video I want to play for you all. I want you to listen to some things that's going on in Venezuela. Some of the things are, and what I love about it is that this is a balanced and a well-put-together piece. It's not just giving you one side of things. It's actually giving you, because a lot of people, and I know because it has some clients in Venezuela, that are actually doing extremely well in Venezuela, but some of them for all the wrong reasons. We'll talk about that later. But just so you know, the importance of the black market and how it works and the difference between it all, and I think it's very important because you're going to see some of that here. So I got it all set and ready to go, so we're going to do that, and then we'll end out today's show. Here we go.
While in Venezuela, I had an intense experience at an opposition protest, which received wide coverage in the Western press. So I wanted to see the demonstrations that get virtually no coverage, those by government supporters. The atmosphere was quite different. I found the depiction of a widely hated government was a distortion. If Western media and human rights groups considered the voices of anti-government Venezuelans as golden, why are these millions of voices considered to have no value? The opposition's grievances are well reported.
Who is to blame for what's going on?
Wow, el gobierno.
The government.
Únicamente al gobierno.
Only the government.
Que sí. Queremos vivir, mira, queremos comprar.
We want to live, we want to shop freely.
They have us tired. La inseguridad, mira, antes se caminaba libremente.
Insecurity, looking before you walk freely.
Mira, esto es horrible, horrible.
Looking at
la economía, el trabajo.
Most of all, the economy.
Mira, yo soy una persona que trabaja en turismo.
I'm a person who works in tourism, and there are no tourists.
¿Hacia dónde va? No voy a tener un sueldo, mira.
What I need.
Yo soy una mujer que tengo 54.
I'm a woman, 54 years old. I have never seen a situation like this. In addition, I've always felt like there was injustice when there was this inflation rate of 100% per year.
in terms of real estate, which was the highest in the market, we felt that the situation was difficult. Our rights have been violated. There is no written press. Media outlets that self-censor our fears.
Venezuelan opposition politicians and human rights organizations often bemoan the lack of critical media against the government inside Venezuela. The people have access to the internet and social media, including Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. But what about the local press? When I was walking around Caracas, I was surprised to see many adversarial pro-opposition publications being sold at newsstands.
You know, one thing that we're told in America is that the press in Venezuela is completely controlled by the government. So I went to a couple newsstands and bought up every paper that I could find, and surprisingly, the vast majority were not. Let's take a look at them. Ultimas Noticias, it says, so far 1,200 buildings have been destroyed. I'm told that this is a neutral paper and that some days it has pro-opposition stuff, some days it has pro-government stuff, but this is a pretty neutral paper. This one's called Diario Villa. It says, public power should condemn the violence. It also talks about the young man who was burned alive. And it also says, the opposition is provoking a civil war. So that's Diario Villa, leftist paper. Another leftist paper. It says, Maduro, we're going to give constitutional rights to the missions Chavez gave us. And it shows the pro-Chavez march, the huge one that was mostly ignored by opposition people and by Western press. So this is another leftist paper. The other four are completely anti-government papers, all opposition papers. The first one, La Razón. It says, sovereign assembly, sovereign bullshit. It says, the coup continues. People do not want their speech to be stolen. The next one, Las Verdades de Miguel. So on the front of this one, it says, stop the violence. It basically insinuates that police are causing all the violence. It says, we're brothers, right? Depicting the protesters as totally peaceful guitar players. Who knew? Amazing. And then you have Zeta, which is another opposition paper. It portrays Padrino as some dictator. Padrino's the head of the National Guard here. He looks like Pinochet in this photo. And it's essentially saying the blood is on his hands, right? Soros on sus manos. Really, really amazing here. And on the back of the paper, it shows a young journalist, 27 years old, who says he died for the liberty of Caracas. Incredible. Qual, which is the most shocking one of all, perhaps. It says Maduro von 43 victims. It's already been 43 victims, essentially all Maduro's fault. Well, we've seen the breakdown. We know the truth there. So, and then, of course, you see other stories where it's talking about government corruption, Maduro receiving illegal funds, etc. So, out of the seven papers, four are anti-government, two are pro-government, and one is neutral. You go either way. So it looks like the press is not as controlled as we think.
The next day, I even saw a different paper with the most outrageous headline of all. Trump must take care of Maduro. Television ownership is similar to print media. The Committee to Protect Journalists claims nearly all TV stations in Venezuela are either controlled or allied with the government of Nicolas Maduro. That is blatantly untrue. According to the Center for Economic and Policy Research, private TV media captures between 74% and 92% of the country. A 2013 Nielsen ranking found state TV captured as little as 8.4% of people tuning in. One of Venezuela's biggest TV stations is Venevision, owned by right-wing billionaire Gustavo Cisneros. Aside from the free press, another focus of strife in Venezuela is food shortages. The country is depicted on the brink of famine, with mass starvation, where people are even going as far as breaking into zoos to eat the animals.
It's a very difficult situation for all Venezuelans because of corruption, so brutal that the ordinary person, hardworking person, has nothing to eat. Every day is worse. Hunger, misery, people dying of starvation. We're on the brink of a famine. The refrigerators in the houses of Venezuelans don't have enough. There's no dollars and everything's empty. We can't eat. Food is a luxury now.
people have told us that their fridges are empty, they can't buy anything, they live in a dictatorship. I mean, is that true?
Well, as Venezuelans, I must say that today, food has been a little scarce. And this is due to the economic war and the private businesses and corporations are having against Venezuela. There is food, it's just expensive. Let them come and let them visit Venezuela. They can see how people eat three meals a day, lunch, dinner, and breakfast. Over here, you're guaranteed three meals. The children are guaranteed their meals for free at cost. Free education, free universities, free health care. Well, actually, the people who live in Venezuela are ones who can control the situation. As inhabitants of this nation, I tell you this is absolutely false. Because you can see in the restaurants, most luxurious restaurants are full of people. If they were really going through this situation, these restaurants would be empty. They would be people begging for food. That's just not what's happening here. The big media has done it, distorted all the information. Not everything is as it seems in the mainstream media. I have a family in Colombia. Practically every day they write me, come live here. But I tell them, no, no, no. I have the painted over here. We are definitely in an economic war because how is it possible that you can go to a small market in the east and can't get anything? But when you go to a supermarket in the west, to the big grocery chain, they don't have anything.
Experiencing food shortages, but the majority of people saying they eat less and worse now than in recent years. The lines that people wait hours in are not simply to buy food in general. They're mostly to buy bread due to the scarcity of flour. But with so many claims of empty shelves, I went to several supermarkets around the city with a hidden camera.
This supermarket is full. I mean, completely full. Got everything. New produce, new food. All the shelves are stocked to the T.
So we just went to about five different supermarkets, and the shelves were fully stocked. And this is all types of neighborhoods, all types of classes. The shelves were stocked with everything from Nestle chocolate, all Coca-Cola products, fish, meat, vegetables, fruit. But it's true, I did not find toilet paper at any of the stores. There's a multitude of other paper products, from Kleenex to paper towels to napkins. So while it is true that there are shortages, it seems like you are very able to find things for everyday life, no problem.
I sat down with economist Pascalina Curzio to understand the issue of scarcity and other economic problems.
Well, the first place is that most of the generalization crisis, we call it an economic war. The reason for this is because we really had a general economic crisis. Venezuela was not registering the high level of production it had. Venezuela, in the last 4 years, has maintained a GDP capita 9% higher than the last 30 years. The unemployment rate is around 6.6%. So we can't call it a generalized economic crisis. What we're seeing is there is a severe aggravation focused on affecting the entire population. And it has to do with market manipulation and the economy as a whole. Above all, it's affecting the country.
All types of food, paper products like napkins, Kleenex, yet, of course, there's main staples that are a huge shortages, right? Toilet paper, namely, things like oil, flour. How is that possible? How could there be such an abundance of paper products, yet no toilet paper?
This is perceivably part of what I'm referring to, the difference between economic crisis and economic war. The products are very particular, are difficult, and they have to be specifically characterized. These are the responsibilities of the, is responsible for the food lines and even more illegal markets due to the scarcity caused by the high consumer products, particularly by the Venezuelan people.
There are some foods, for example, like pre-cooked corn flour. That's the first list on the item for most Venezuelans. They are also associated with life and daily activities to health and care in cases of medicine. And aside from that, we all have extra features. The products and distribution that these items, in some cases, also export are exporting. It is the responsibility of major corporations which constitute themselves as oligarchs. This is why oranges and bananas, for example, are highly consumed by Venezuelans, and they have not been abused. These products, vegetables and fruits and vegetables, are produced by large number of producers outside of the country. Farm workers have not the capacity to farm outside of the cartels. Nevertheless, there are other products under control, huge monopolies with the capacity to behave like a cartel. Some of these products go, such as toilet paper and baby diapers, sanitary napkins. It's for high consumption affecting the household. And these products are two or three private companies nationally.
The excuse from these corporations for not keeping up with production is that the government doesn't give them dollars. Like Polar, the largest privately owned company in Venezuela, which is also the largest food manufacturer. According to the Minister of Agriculture, Polar is responsible for 8 of the main items in Venezuela's food basket, such as butter and oil, and 62% of the corn flour used for making arepas, the country's most popular dish. Polar's CEO, billionaire Lorenzo Mendoza, is an open member of the opposition who's been accused of hoarding essential goods. A leaked audio recording revealed Mendoza was secretly plotting with the IMF for intervention.
And what is your response to people who say that it's the government's fault for the shortage because they are setting the price controls?
One of the arguments, for example, is that the government is responsible for the scarcity and not delivering dollars to the private enterprise to import goods, products for the final production. But when you start analyzing the foreign currency allocation for these private companies, since 2013, $300 billion have been allocated from these imported companies. In particular, for these scarce goods, after 2013, we're seeing this phenomenal foreign currency that has been allocated for health industries as well as foreign industries. Hence, the argument seems false. On the other hand, there's also claimed that the government is to blame due to the price control. They say that this is a failed social model where the state intervenes and controls. Now, this has caused for the first time the case where companies could not afford the products that they make. One wonders how these products are available on the black market. If they couldn't actually produce or import the raw materials, you wouldn't find these products on the illegal black markets. This is not a cost problem. It's a real price war. This is actually the hike in prices. For example, in last year, the price of pre-cooked corn flour has been increased by 3,700%. Only a year ago, this is a lot more than inflation rate. We guess the companies covered the cost with this adjustment. Nevertheless, the flour is not present in the regular market, but it is on the black market. So in this case, we cannot consider valid the argument that the government is the cause of the problem. You'll find that the illegal markets are where
being responsible for inflation. I wanted to find out how prevalent illegal currency exchange was. So we wore hidden cameras around downtown Caracas, and within just minutes, we were approached and offered an illegal exchange. But we were quickly caught.
They're recording. Explain to her what we see on the video. Delete it. This guy has another one. Cut it off now. Wait until the boss comes.
So, we just got caught filming, trying to exchange money on the black market. The guy actually threatened to beat us up. But what happened is that we found out that the exchange rate is even higher than we thought. He was offering us 6,000 bolivars for every U.S. dollar, so 120,000 bolivars for 20 U.S. dollars. That's almost the minimum wage for a month for an average Venezuelan.
What they had offered us, 6,000 bolivars per dollar, was over six times the legal exchange rate that day.
Let's talk about the black market. For example, you can get over six times more bolivars.
Okay, I'm gonna end it here really quickly. Sorry, the translation was trying to catch it up and get it to you, because I think this is very, very important. Because the reason why I wanted to play this, because this is what I see is going to happen here. The common person's economy is going to be collapsed, just like in Venezuela. The people that have means engage in the black market, and the black market is thriving. Not only is it thriving, it's making the other markets more viable, but the actual everyday person isn't able to keep up because their currency has been strategically attacked to make this happen. This means that this is really the doings of an outside jackal to destabilize Venezuela. And this is why in Venezuela, you have people that are making it, all the stories that you're hearing about Venezuela, not all of them, they're serving a purpose depending on who's telling the story. Once again, this is the control. Once again, the control. And so what purpose is this being sought out? When in actuality, what is happening is that Venezuela is having, they're saying they're in an economic war. And the economic war is much different than the economic crisis. They are in the economy of Venezuela is purposely being attacked. Why? Because they produce a large amount of oil. And they want that whole economy to collapse so that they can come in and seize it for pennies on the dollar. And this is why the black market, they're able to exchange the currencies for U.S. dollars for bolivars at over 6,000 per one. One U.S. dollar gets you 6,000 bolivar. So who's able to engage in that is those that prepared for this before it came. Those that did not see this coming, the regular people, they were just minding their business. They were working and doing what they thought. They were living out what they thought the promise was going to be. Then all of a sudden, boom, they didn't know that they were being targeted for war. And the sniper's round of debasing the currency struck and hit its target, and now it's adversely affecting the overall regular people. But those that are in the country that prepared, that knew that this was coming and are facilitating this, the beneficiaries of it, there is no change in lifestyle at all. The restaurants are full. That exact same thing is going to happen here. There's going to be goods and everything everywhere, but the key is, will you have the means to acquire it? This is the test run that is going to be reciprocated and duplicated throughout the world, and the main target is always going to be here. And Venezuela is the perfect place to see what's going on, what's up. We'll get back to this. And I know exactly where we stopped. We want you to hear the rest of it, because it's a tale of two cities, and the black market is going to be critical. The black market here, when this economy, the rug is pulled out from under it, the black market will be the predominant force that will dictate the overall direction and the livelihood of people. Those that engage in it before, and those that will wish that they had engaged in it, and where you stand now is going to position yourself and your family to, if you're going to be able to engage in the black market. I know clients in Venezuela, and exactly what this is all about, was telling me about this. Some of them did not resonate in a bad way. Some of them absolutely love the economic war that Venezuela is going from, because they are getting generational wealth beyond compare. And those individuals have the wrong spirit, but it's their spirit, their choice. So exact same thing is going to be happening here, but on a much, much larger scale. There is no black market like a U.S. black market. And it's going to be huge. So we'll get back to this so we can finish this out and then check it out and for yourself. Hopefully you are able to gain something. You were able to learn something here and prepare for everything, and you'll be ready and you'll be fine. So, because like I said, it is going to be goods. Well, there's going to be some real unstable places. There's going to be some interruptions and everything else, because that's the drama to bring about the draconious means and dictations that's going to be happening. But if you strategically prepare yourself for it, there is going to be places where it's going to have everything that you need. But the thing is that, will you have the overall medium of exchange to get it? And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to be the dollar that they've taught us all to worship. So, listen, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Much love and much respect. Big ups to Roz, Mel, Scotty, Brother Davis, Brother Bragg. Great, great show. You made it so phenomenally and you know, relevant. I greatly, greatly appreciate you all. Tomorrow, Wise Wednesday, where Brother Davis will be on. Bring a book, talk about it. Very, very important. So you listening to Tando Radio Show is never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Braggs, if you would, chime us out. We'll talk to you all soon. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.